Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, tonight, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to Genesis, the 39th chapter. We've been talking about a subject when I've been in the pulpit on Wednesday nights called going from pain to promise. This is from pain to promise, part number three. I want to just remind you of some of the things that we've said in the first two messages, and then we'll get to where we're going to tonight. First time we talked about this, we realized some things about going from pain to promise, and that is that in order for us to go from pain to promise, there has to be progress. Progress doesn't always look like what we think it should. And we started to take a look at the life of Joseph. And Joseph, initially, when he started heading towards a dream that God had given him, found himself in a pit. And so his progress didn't look like what he thought it should. And so we learned some things about the pit. First of all, we learned that the pit may be providential. In other words, that it was the hand of God that gave him this detour, this time in his life that wasn't pleasant at all. But we realized that the hand of God was in it. That God is working all things for our good. And so we need to keep the right heart in the midst of it all. And remember that God is with us wherever we go. Even if the place that we go after the pit is into Potiphar's house. You remember Joseph went to the slave house after he got pulled out of the pit. He was sold as a slave and he went down into Egypt and became a slave down there. And while he was a slave, he had to realize that some things were taking place in his life, that God's hand was still on him, God was still with him, and he could even be successful in a position of slavery. But remember, we said this, that success will test us. More people can handle failure than can handle success. Why? Because success can be deceitful. Wealth and riches and acclaim and all that kind of stuff, fame, can really take us off of the things of God. And so in that test, sin is sitting there. Sin is lying at the door waiting to master us, but we should master over it. And so we remember we talked about resisting sin, that we need to remember who we are. Joseph said, wait a second, there's no one greater in this house than I. I'm the second in charge, and I've got a responsibility, and so I can't be messing around with Potiphar's wife. Also, we need to reveal the truth. And he said, why should I do this thing and sin against God? That this was a reality, and this was a truth that Joseph had to bring forth in order to reveal what was really going on and bring the light of God's word into his situation. And finally, we said this, is that he was to run to God. That as Joseph left his garment there in her hands, just as he had left his coat of many colors in his brother's hands as they cast him into the pit, now all of a sudden his coat is stripped of him once again. Who he was taken off. But it didn't matter, because it wasn't about who he was in that position, in that place of Potiphar's house. What mattered was that he was a child of God and that he was not going to sin against God, but rather he was going to run to God. Remember, we said this, and this is really where I want to go tonight. We're going to get to the Word of God and pull some truth out of this thought, is that God uses our pain to train us for promise. See, Joseph had a dream. Joseph knew that there was going to come a time where his brothers would come before him and that they would bow down to him. Remember, he had the dream about the sheaves of wheat. There were 12 sheaves, and his sheaf that he was binding and bundling up stood up, and then all the sheaves that his brothers were binding bowed down to his. Remember, he had a second dream about the sun and the moon and the stars. And the stars came and they bowed down. And all of a sudden, his father rebuked him and said, wait a second, me and your mom going to bow down to you, Joseph? And yet, Joseph continued to follow God the best that he knew how. And that this providential path of God took him from his father's house to a pit, from that pit to Potiphar's house. And now we find at the end of all this that after Joseph stands up for what's right with Potiphar's wife, that it lands him in the prison. Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 20 through verse number 23 says this. Starting in verse number 20, look at what it says. It says, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. Notice what the Bible says. It says two times in this one verse that Joseph was in a prison, and there was another word that's used called confined, that he was limited in this place. See, whereas in the slave house, he had some freedom. In the slave house, there were things that he was over. In the slave house, there was things that he could do that he didn't need permission. Things were under his care, but now he has become confined. He's put into the prison. Maybe you came into this place tonight and you feel like your job is a prison. Maybe you feel confined every time you go to work. Maybe you came into this place tonight and you feel like home is a prison and you like coming to the house of God because your house feels confining. It feels like you're restricted there. It feels like you can't do anything. Maybe for some of you in this place, all of your life feels like a prison. Maybe everything, everywhere you turn, all you see is bars and you wish that you could hear the sound of birds or see the light of the sun, but it feels like you are confined and you are in a prison. I've got good news for you tonight is that God uses our pain to train us for promise. God is doing something in your life. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. And if you're in a prison tonight, God's right there in the midst of that problem and that pain with you. Verse number 21, look at what it says. This is confirmation. It says, even though Joseph was in the prison, verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Everybody say, the Lord was with him. Now change it. Say, the Lord was with me. We'd be good to remember that God's with us, that God knows our pain. He knows our trials. He knows our troubles. It says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. That's such a great word because mercy really in the Old Testament, when you find that word mercy, it means something so deep and so meaningful. It means loyal covenant love. A covenant love is like a marriage. A covenant love is an agreement between two people that goes beyond just a contract, beyond just signing legal documents. This is something that is based on love and is bound by love. And so the Lord showed him mercy. He showed him loyal covenant love there in the prison. It says, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Now this guy Joseph has tremendous favor on his life. Think about it for a second. Joseph at age 17 had the favor of his father on his life so that he became the one who was really looking after his father's flocks and looking after what his brothers were doing. That's why he brought a report to his father. That's why his father sent him out to go and find out what was going on with his brothers, and that eventually got him into trouble. But Joseph was put in a position of authority even though he was only 17 years old. Now Joseph sold into slavery there in the slave house. He finds favor in the eyes of his master Potiphar, and Potiphar puts him over everything in his house. He could trust Joseph so much that he didn't even know what was going on in his house except the bread he was about ready to eat. That's what the Bible says. And now here we find Joseph in an even worse situation. He's in prison. He's confined, and there in that confining, constricting space, Joseph starts to rule in the prison. Why? Because the favor of God was on his life, and God showed him mercy. God gave him favor. God blessed him, and he started to rule in the prison. I have a thought for you tonight. Do you think that God is speaking to your life as you're feeling like you're in a prison? Do you feel like God wants to show you his loyal covenant love there in that confining space? Do you feel like God wants to pour his favor out on your life so that all of a sudden, rather than sitting in the prison, you start ruling in the prison? Rather than sitting in the stocks, now all of a sudden you're starting to serve the other prisoners. You're starting to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus in whatever circumstances you're found. I believe that God wants each and every one of us to rule and to reign even when we're in confining situations. Goes on and it says in verse number 23, the last verse in the chapter, it says, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. That's quite a thought, isn't it? That you can even prosper in the prison. See, we think of prison as confining. We think of it as the worst. I mean, that would be the most terrible place that we could be. At least as a slave, you know, you were able to do stuff. At least you could have the favor of your master. At least you could see the light of day. At least you could hear the birds chirping and be out in nature and that sort of thing as you tend to the gardens. At least you could have a nice bed in a place where, you know, you weren't always in stocks and chains. But here Joseph is, and because of what God was doing in his life, it says that God prospered him there in the prison. What an amazing thought. But I believe that God wants to do very similar things in each and every one of our lives. See, we may not be in a physical prison, but sometimes we're captivated by our circumstances. sometimes we get constricted and confined by maybe what someone has spoken over us, or maybe what someone has done to us, or maybe it could be the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And to no fault of our own, man, I didn't realize it was going to be this way. Some of you guys, unemployment might be a prison. It wasn't your doing that you got laid off from the company, but here you are, and you've been trying to find work, and yet you, the only work you can find doesn't make as much as the unemployment is making. So there you are, just wondering what you're going to do, and you keep putting in applications, and you keep hearing no, 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 no. And yet, God doesn't want us just laid up in the prison, just sitting there doing nothing. God wants us to be prosperous even in the prison. So God has a wisdom, God has a direction for us. See, it seems like in the life of Joseph, and maybe this sounds like your life, see if you can relate to this. Seems like in the life of Joseph, he takes one step forward, but then he takes two steps back, right? Here he is, he takes a step forward, his dad entrusts him with the flocks, entrusts him with leadership, and then all of a sudden he takes two steps back, he's in a pit. Then he comes out of the pit into Potiphar's house and feels like he's prospering and doing well. And my goodness, the pain of his brothers is past now. And even though he's still confused about that situation, at least life isn't all that bad. Yes, he's in slavery, but that could be better than being killed by his brothers. That would have been worse. And so here he takes a step forward, but now all of a sudden here comes Potiphar's wife and he takes two steps back into prison. And for some of us in this place, maybe you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand every step of the way, and you're wondering, why is God mad at you? Maybe you're wondering, why has God got you in the prison? Can I tell you something? God knows the process that he has you on to get to the promise. And on the way, there may be detours and delays, but that doesn't make God any less God, and that doesn't make you any less of a person either. Here's the thing. Why does God allow problems and pain? Remember, we're talking about going from pain to promise. Now, globally, we could say, why does God allow evil in the world? That's a huge question. You know, why would God allow things like Hitler? Why would God allow things like Idi Amin there in Africa? Why would God allow, sex trafficking? Why would God allow all of these evils on the earth? Now, there are many answers to that question, okay? Many answers to that question. One is that God has given his authority to the church, and therefore we have the power of binding and loosing on the earth, and our prayers are what advance the kingdom of God. The other answer is that the devil is still alive and well and loosed on the earth, and that evil is the devil's doing, right? And he is the father of lies. He is the one who brought in sin into that iniquity was found in him in heaven. So that devil that's now loosed on the earth is wreaking havoc on the earth. There are many answers to that question, okay? And we could discuss all night, and we could preach sermons, and we have preached sermons on that. But I want to bring it down to our level, okay? Because we're talking about our individual process of life, okay? And yes, we have authority on the earth. Yes, the devil's loosed on the earth, and it is our job as the church to stand up against those evils and to recognize and realize that God is not authoring those things, but that God is using those things to push forward his global promise, his will of the age on the earth. But now when you take that massive concept and apply it to yourself, sometimes it doesn't really feel fair. Can anybody be honest in this place, say, I at one point didn't know what God was doing? Maybe you even got mad at God? Anybody had that feeling, right? Okay, good. See, we got some honest people in here. I can tell you in my own household, my lovely wife, Pastor Jesse's not here so we can talk about her tonight, but oftentimes she'll say, I'm just so mad at God. I don't even know what he's doing, you know? And it's like, I feel almost sinful when I talk like that, you know? But she's just free and she just knows, and she's got that relationship with God. She'll say, I yell at God, and God says, are you done? You know? And I love that. That's refreshing to me because it's real. And so we may be confused by God. There have been times where I've said, God, what are you doing? You know, God, really? God, really? Like, really? I mean, just, I don't understand, God. And so for all of us, we have that. Why would God allow problems and pain? Let me answer that question a couple different ways, okay? First of all is this. He allows problems and pains because he knows the plan. He knows the plan. We don't know the plan, but he does. We don't know the steps it's going to take, but God does. And sometimes when you have to take a step up, if you keep taking steps up long enough, your muscles are going to get sore. Isn't that right? In the same way, God knows that there's going to be a place that he wants to get us to, and he knows the plan. He knows every step that he's ordained, and pain may be along the road to glory, just like Jesus had to encounter pain on the road to glory. See, Jesus had to go through suffering and death on a cross and a grave in order to get to the right hand of the Father. Why? Because God was doing something, and he knew the plan, and even though we may look at that and say, that's terrible, why would it please God to bruise him? Why would it please God to crush him. The reason why is because God saw the joy that was set before him. Jesus saw your face and he saw my face there on the cross. And he knew the plan of redemption. He knew the process it would take to get there, and suffering was a part of that process. So that's why he allowed pain in Jesus's life. No different in our life. There is a promise. There is a plan. There is a process that we have to get to, and God knows that process. But guess what else? God also knows our progress. And God may be getting our hearts ready for both failure and success so that we can carry the weight of the blessing when it finally comes. See, if you were weak and you couldn't carry the blessing, if God dumped it on you, it would crush you. If you were instantly successful and God just gave you everything in the promise, you might fall out under the power of that blessing or under the weight of that glory that God wants to give to you. So what is God doing with pain? God is getting you stronger. You've heard the old saying, complete it for me. No pain, no gain, right? So we need to understand that without pain in our lives, there's not going to be any gain. There's not going to be any strength that's added to us so that we can carry the weight of what it is that God wants to do in our lives. So why does God allow pain? Well, he knows the plan. He knows the process, and he knows our progress. But also this, he knows how specific situations will train us for our future. In other words, Joseph, here he is in his father's house when things are good and he can reign. He can be righteous, right? Then Joseph goes into the pit. You don't find Joseph trying to clock Judah. You don't find him trying to judo chop Simeon on his way out. You don't find him doing any of that stuff, right? You don't find Joseph reviling or speaking evil of his brothers. You will not find Joseph doing anything. He was righteous through the pit. He was righteous there in Potiphar's house. He was righteous and he ruled. And guess what else he did? He said no to sin when sin presented itself in the form of Potiphar's wife, that lustful woman that came after him and was grabbing hold of him. He had every reason as a young man, 17 years old, my goodness, maybe by this time he was even 20 years old, hormones are raging, he's good looking, he's handsome, and you know what? He says, hey, you know what? No one's looking, everybody's out of the house, maybe we can just go. But he doesn't. He says, how could I do this evil against the Lord? And he runs and leaves his coat behind. So here he is, he rules and reigns and maintains his integrity in Potiphar's house, and now in the prison, it's no different. God knows the pain that it's going to take to test us, to get us prepared for what's in our future. God knows that there's a palace that's awaiting. God knows that there's something he's doing on the earth. God knows that there is something, there is a promise that he has for his people, because God was going to take care of not only Egypt, not only the world around them, but the patriarchs and the family of God that was going to come down. The lineage of Jesus Christ himself would be fed through Joseph's position there in the palace, but there had to be some pain to get Joseph ready to rule in that place. Anybody listening tonight? And could it be that your promise is bigger than you? Could it be that your promise is bigger than a dream of people bowing down to you? Could it be that your promise actually includes the plan of God for us here on the earth today? I believe it does. I believe that your life is no accident. I believe that your life is more significant than we give it credit for here on the earth. See, there are people who would say, well, I'm not anything special. I'm not a politician. I'm not famous. I'm not an actor. I'm not a sports figure. I'm just little old me. But did you know that God delights in using just little old me's? God loves to take the foolish things of this earth to confound the wise. God loves to take the base things of this world and exalt them to highest positions. God loves to take 17-year-olds with daddy's coat who were telling on their brothers to raise them up to be rulers. God wants to use you to bring about his plan, his purpose, and his promise on the earth today. So we got to get strong. See, why would God give you a problem child? Do you think that God wants you to go through the process of raising that child so that that child can become a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist or an apostle or something great in the kingdom of God? Why would God give you a problem boss? Why would God put you in a job that your boss is riding your back all the time? Maybe it's because you can be a witness. Maybe it's so that you can start to weave in the goodness of God in an ungodly place, and not only your coworkers, but your ungodly boss will give glory to God on the day of his visitation and will be thankful that you serve the Lord faithfully there in that prison. Why would God give you those neighbors that drive you crazy, that let their dog piddle all over your lawn and do all that other stuff? Why would he allow them to have parties every Friday night, keeping you up every Saturday night, keeping you awake? You've got church in the morning. Don't they know that you've got church? You've been nice, but now I'm calling the cops. See, why would God give you neighbors that bug you? Could it be that God is weaving you into the fabric of a community because he wants you to bring his love, his care, his hope? Maybe nobody else is praying for those people except you're praying for them in the middle of the night. God, shut them up. I mean, God, save them. Save them. And you start saying, God, send laborers across their path. And God says, all right, I'll send you tomorrow morning when you're mowing your lawn. They're going to be passed out drunk on the front porch, and you need to witness to them. Do you think that God maybe brings problems into our life because he knows he can trust us, his church? You think that God wants you to raise godly families and to be a witness on the job? Do you think that God wants to trust you with people who are ungodly? God wants to build in you that persevering spirit. God wants to build you greater potential than you ever thought possible, because God has a plan on the earth, and the promise of your life is greater than you. It goes into those around you. See, God will test your heart with adversity. God will test your heart with trial. The question is, will you stay with him through the pain? In Psalm 107, keep your finger there in the book of Genesis, but turn with me to Psalm 105, okay? Keep your finger there in the book of Genesis. We're going to come back there in a moment, but I just want to show you Psalm 105, and we're going to take a look at a couple of verses in Psalm 105. It starts to talk about Joseph in these verses. It starts to talk about the plan of God. As you read through it, it goes all the way through the Exodus, talks about a lot of different things, and in Psalm 105, we're going to take a look at verse number 17 through verse number 19. Psalm 105, let me get there myself. Verse number 17 through verse number 19. Psalm 105, verse 17, look at what it says. It says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Remember in part number one, we read the verse where Joseph said, you sold me, but God sent me. It's the same thing that it's saying here, that God had sent Joseph. Joseph wasn't just sold by his brothers. Joseph was sent by God. And it says, verse number 18, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. In other words, there was pain that took place. Joseph went through physical trial and pain as well as emotional pain. You find Joseph is a weeping, crying mess when he confronts his brothers. Joseph has to stop and go into another room and compose himself because the pain is so great. Don't think for a moment that Joseph's promise just came about without any pain. No, Joseph went through excruciating pain. Joseph went through excruciating trials, such as most of us in this room maybe have never seen in our lifetime, and hopefully we never will. Some of you guys have experienced the pain of rejection. Some of you guys have had your family turn their back on you. Some of you guys have gone through physical pains that we cannot imagine. And yet, look at what it says in the very next verse. It says in verse number 19, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. In other words, there was a process that God was taking Joseph on. There was progress that was made throughout his lifetime until that time that his word came to pass. There was going to come a day where Joseph's dream would come to pass, where he would see his brothers come before him and bow down in front of him. But until that time, look what it says, the word of the Lord tested him. Are you going to stay faithful, Joseph? Are you going to hang on? Are you going to press through? Are you going to go through every trial? Are you going to go through every temptation? Are you going to go through every situation? How will you be at Potiphar's house? How will you be in the prison? How are you going to react in the palace? See, until the day that the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. See, when we're in the school of adversity, we need to learn the lessons that wisdom gives us. Let me say that again. When we're in the school of adversity, we need to learn the lessons that wisdom gives us. God is teaching us something in the test and in the trial. You say, well, I don't know what God's teaching me because I can't hear his voice. I don't know what he's doing. God seems to be silent in my life. Yes, every test, the teacher stays silent. Isn't that true? Think about it for a second. Did you ever have a test where the teacher was just talking? Let me teach you about question number one before you answer. I want to make sure that you understand really what was going on at the War of 1812, right? No. What are they doing? They're saying, you better know these dates. You better know this stuff. I've already taught you this stuff. I have already told you these things, and you need to remember them and put them down on the sheet of paper so that when you hand it in, I can see how you did on the test. See, the teacher is silent during the test. If you're wondering why God may be silent, it's because God may have taught you you something. God may have imparted something into your life, and now God is watching your life and testing you with his word to see if you received it or if you didn't get it yet. Because if you didn't get it yet, he's going to teach it to you again. He's going to take you another time around the racetrack. He's going to see if you learned how to hug the curve. He's going to see if you learned how to take your sprint at the very end. He's going to see and watch how you breathe. See, God is the teacher. We are the one going through the test. And even though we may wonder, why is God silent? Why is God distant? He never left us ever. His mercies are new every morning. His favor is on our life. We are accepted in the beloved, and God is watching our lives to see if the word of the Lord will come to pass in and through us. God is looking for his word. The same word that tried Joseph also set him free, and it's no different in your lives. The same word that's testing you is the word that's going to set you free. See, it's the same word that will try you, that will allow you to pass. Because you cannot fail when it comes to the things of God if you hold on to his word, if you hold on to his promises, because God is love and love never fails. Genesis chapter number 40, turn back there to Genesis chapter number 40 this time. Let me tell you the story. Here Joseph is in prison. He's got all the prisoners entrusted to him. The chief butler and the chief baker offend Pharaoh. You can read this whole chapter on your own time and catch the whole story, but really, I just want to give you some highlights. So here's the chief butler, here's the chief baker, and the captain of the prison trust these guys to Joseph's care, just like he did everything else. He didn't even think about anything in the prison. So here he gets some prisoners. First thing, hey, Joseph, butler, baker, take care of him, all right? I'll see you later, right? So here Joseph is, he's serving them, the Bible says. See, even in prison, Joseph has a servant's heart, much like the Lord Jesus did when he brought himself down into human form. He came in the form of a servant. And so here Joseph is in the prison serving. He's still loving. He's still giving. He's still ruling and reigning in his service. And so here Joseph is serving them. And one day they both wake up and they're both sad. They both have a sad countenance. Now, prison itself would be enough to make me sad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But for some reason, there was something especially distressing about their lives that day, that both of them were unusually more sad. Okay, they had a greater sadness on their life, that Joseph noticed what was going on. And so Joseph comes to them. Now, oftentimes in the midst of pain, it's hard to focus on others. Okay, think about this. If you're going through a trial, if you feel like you're in prison, someone else is sad and you say, I can't think about you right now. I got to do me, right? I know many times I've had that attitude. Man, I've got so much going on. I can't even think about your problems. It's just human nature, not Joseph. Joseph comes along and he says, why are you sad? What's going on, guys? And they said, well, we both had dreams and we don't have an interpreter. Now in Egypt, in that time, remember that they had multiple gods, right? They had many gods, and they believed that oftentimes that those dreams were visions that were given by the gods, and if you could have an interpreter or a sorcerer at that time interpret it for you, it would give you a picture of their future. Now, I want you to notice what Joseph says. So Joseph hears about this, and look at verse 40, chapter 40, verse number 8. Genesis chapter 40, verse number 8. And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Now, Joseph just made a huge statement right there. That is a huge statement that Joseph just made. Look at what it says. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? Okay? By saying that, Joseph just said something. Joseph just said something about his own life. In other words, Joseph himself has had a dream. And Joseph is saying with this statement, I trust God to interpret my dream in the process of time. See, we're talking about going from pain to promise. Why could Joseph endure the pit, Potiphar's house, and the prison? Here's why. Because he says, it's not for me to decide what my life should look like. It's for God to decide what my life should look like. Do not interpretations belong to God? In other words, we don't follow the prophetic voice. We don't follow anything that something's been said or something's been done, or just because we got this education or this system or something should look the way that it should look in our natural thinking and our natural calculations. That is not what this is about. This is about us following the word of the Lord. And if God has given you a promise, if God has given you a dream, then that interpretation of that dream and that promise belongs to God. You need to leave that in the Lord's hands and trust him through every trial, through every problem, through every pain, because God is developing you to the point where he can bring his promise into your life. That's what Joseph just said. Now, in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 14, okay, we drop down there. Joseph hears the dreams, okay? Let me give you some highlights, okay? The cupbearer, right? The butler. Okay? He has a dream that there's a vine with three branches. And he finds some grapes. He presses these grapes into a cup. He hands it to Pharaoh. Pharaoh drinks. Everything's good with the world, right? Joseph says, this is your dream. Those three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift your head up. You're going to be put back into the position that you were put in before. And he goes on in Genesis chapter number 40. And verse number 14, and look at what he says. But remember me when it's well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. In other words, get me out of this prison, dude. Come on. Could you just give a little love to your bro? All right, I've been serving you. I was caring for your needs. I gave you the interpretation of the dream. Least you could do is when you're restored to that position next to Pharaoh, say, hey, Pharaoh, you know, there was this guy, Joseph, and I had a dream, and he gave me the interpretation of the dream. He's really a cool guy. Do you think that we could get him out of that prison? That's all Joseph was asking for. In the next verse, Joseph goes on and he talks about, I haven't done anything to get here. I didn't do anything wrong. He never throws Potiphar's wife, his brothers. He doesn't throw anybody under the bus. He just says, I haven't done anything wrong. It'd be nice to get out of here. Could you just drop a word to Pharaoh for me? Now the baker steps up. He's heard the good interpretation. He says, well, here's my dream. I had three baskets on my head. As I was walking with these three baskets, all of a sudden the birds of the air started to eat the bread out of the top basket. And so Joseph says, well, those three baskets are also 3 days. And here's what's going to happen. Pharaoh's going to lift up your head off your body. And guess what? He's going to hang you on a tree and the birds of the air are going to eat the flesh off of your bones. Not exciting, right? Not that happy. That's not a really good interpretation of the dream. I'm surprised the fist fight didn't break out right there in the prison. Okay? But Joseph faithfully delivered both the good word and also the discouraging word. Why? Because it was the word that God gave him. It was the interpretation. And Joseph wasn't going to hold back the things that God was delivering to him. He was faithful. And that's why the Bible says that we have to speak the truth in love. That's why the Bible says we need to be faithful unto death. There are things that are in our lives, in our process, that in order for us to progress, we're going to have to go through some pain and do some uncomfortable things and sometimes say things that are hard to say. Why? Because they're just as important as the good things. God wants us to realize that pain is not always bad for our lives. It may be bad at the time. It may not be pleasant, but guess what? God is working it out for good. Guess what happens in the process of time? Here they are in 3 days, right? 3 days, they're going to find out whether or not Joseph's for real or not. In 3 days, the butler is returned and restored on Pharaoh's birthday. He's put back into that position and he's handing Pharaoh his cup. Once again, in 3 days, the baker has his head lifted off of his body. He's put there hung on a tree and the birds of the air eat his flesh. Joseph's word came to pass. Genesis chapter 40. Verse number 23, last verse in the chapter, it says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. See, sometimes we put so much stock. Could you drop a word to the boss for me? I helped you out on this project. Could you maybe say something? Because I've been really looking for a raise. I've really been looking for promotion. Could you say something to the dean of the school? You know, I've really been trying to apply myself, been trying to get on the dean's list. And maybe if they knew how much I did in this situation, could you just drop a word to the neighbor for me? I've really been trying to get their dog off my lawn. You know, could you just drop a word to somebody for me? And we put so much stock in man. Put so much stock. And yet, here we find this one little verse is a 2-year sentence for Joseph. Because when you read Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 1, it says after 2 years. That right there is a 2-year sentence for Joseph, that he is left in prison, forgotten by man. But there are some lessons from the prison that I want to bring out tonight. Some things that as I take a look at the life of Joseph, I believe that we can pull out and we can learn so that all of us can go through this process and make progress towards the promise of God for our lives. Lessons from the prison. First one is this: stay consistent. If there's anything that I see in Joseph's life, this would be the opportunity for him to be inconsistent. If ever he was going to have a rant, if ever he was going to complain, if ever he was just going to sit down and cry, this would be the moment. This would be the time, Joseph. You are there in prison. Those stocks hurt. The iron hurts. It's time for you just to have a mental breakdown. No one will put it, towards your bad credit. You know, no one's going to blame you, Joseph. Go ahead and do your thing. Do you. And yet Joseph never gets off of God. He is consistent all the way through. Why? Because consistency proves character. In your life, if you have a godly character, you will know how it's displayed through your consistent life. In other words, people are going to know whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian by the consistency of your actions. They're going to watch you over time. And as they watch you over time, they're going to see how you do with good, How you do with bad? How you do with stormy weather? How you do with fair weather? How you do with finances? How you do with abundance? How you do with lack? How you do with your wife? How you do with your husband? How you do with your kids? They're going to watch every area of your life. Why? Because your consistency proves your character, but your consistency also proves something else. It proves your commitment. Where is your heart at? Are you really locked into God, or is it just about the promise? Is it just about the bless me? Is it just about the abundance? Is it just about the stuff? Is it just about my comfortable life? No. See, if you're really committed, then you will stay consistent, because commitment without consistency is no real commitment at all. God is looking for us to be consistent. And if you've been sitting in a pit, if you've been sitting in a slave house, if you've been sitting in the prison house, it's time for you to take a look inside and say, have I been consistent? Have I been praising God through this? Have I stayed to my integrity? Have I stuck with God? Have I shunned sin? And we all fall and we all stumble. Repent and turn back to God. See, if you consistently, when you stumble, come back to God, that's consistency. That's what God is looking for. God's looking for you to consistently come to Him, to bring to Him your life, to bring to Him your cares, to consistently be there every morning, every night, to be there in His Word, to be there in church, to be continually growing in the things of God, consistently, faithfully following Him, because your consistency proves the character that's on the inside of you. And you have the character, the nature, and the attributes of God, because Jesus lives on the inside of you. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. And so we need to learn this lesson from the prison, that we need to stay consistent. Stay consistent. Also, we need to do this. We need to forget the word of man and remember the word of God. We need to forget the word of man and remember the word of God. Why do I say that? Because Joseph was looking to the word of man to get him out of prison. Hey, would you just remember me to Pharaoh when you get, would you get back in that place? You know, because I've been good, man. I gave you a good word, man. That vine, all that, you know, that was all me, right? That you heard it come out of my mouth. You know, you had the dream, but I gave you the interpretation of the dream. You, bro, you know, come on, you owe me. Let's just have a little gentleman's agreement. Let's shake on it. And when you get out here, you give a word to Pharaoh. See, he was trusting in the word of a man to do something for him. And yet the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The counsel of the Lord, that will stand. See, there are adamant, abundant scriptures for each and every one of us to understand that it doesn't matter what men say. They can breed their threats. They can say what they're going to do. Remember, Joseph's brother, we're going to kill you, Joseph. We are going to kill him. But it didn't matter what they said. Even though they said, here comes this dreamer, let's kill him and see what comes of his dreams. It was the counsel of the Lord that stood. Joseph would not die that day, even though they threw him in a pit, intending to come back and kill him. Joseph's life had a greater plan, that God knew what he was going to do, and what became of his dreams was that they came to pass eventually in his future. But it was the will of God and not the will of man. Stop looking to man to tell you about your life. Don't even look to me to find out. Listen, you've got direct access to the Father. You have the Word of God right here that you can get a hold of. This is a mirror. God will show you your life on the inside of this. You have the Spirit of God that will show you things to come. And what God speaks to you, you hold them and hide them in your heart until they come to pass. And it doesn't matter if your mama told you you're dumb, you won't make it. It doesn't matter if your daddy told you you'll never amount to anything. It doesn't matter if the sergeant in the army said that you're just a worm and you can't do it. Listen, if God gave you a dream, then God's will, God's counsel, that will stand. And no man, no devil, no lying tongue can come against the counsel of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Forget the word of man and remember the word of God. That's why we memorize it. That's why we read it. That's why we quote it. That's why every time we come together, we preach it, is because it's about the word of God. This is not about the words of man. I don't care what O Magazine says. I don't care what blogs on the internet say. I don't care what the experts on the news channels say. Listen, we're finding out more and more the news channels, they're just making up crap, right? They're just doing their own thing, whatever they want to do. They're staging it and making it look like it is when it isn't. My goodness. And we've been buying it and eating it hook, line, and sinker. But listen, this is the only truth. This is the only truth. This is the only truth. Matthew Henry wrote, "We cannot expect too little from man, nor too much from God." See, our expectation in man, you're going to get disappointed. And that doesn't mean don't trust people. That doesn't mean don't rely on people. That doesn't mean any of that kind of stuff. But listen, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, there may be strength in a man. There may be strength of a horse. There may be strength in battle. There may be strength in numbers. There may be strength in wealth. But listen, we don't trust in any of those things. You cannot expect too little from man, nor too much from God. Listen, when God says it, that's the word of God, that if God went back on his word, then he would be a liar. And the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Otherwise, God would have to give up his throne, and God's not going to do that because God is true, God is perfect, and God cannot lie. You cannot expect too much from God. He'll exceed that every time. Last one is this, is don't doubt when things don't work out. See, when things don't go your way, don't doubt God. Why? Because God can bring it to pass. But pastor, the situation is over. It's past the time. The situation is dead. I got the pink slip. I got the divorce papers. Pastor, it's already happened. It's already done. No, listen. God is the one who raises the dead. God is the one who can make the sun stand still. God is the one who can cause the shadow to go up the steps rather than back down the steps when the sun is in the opposite direction. God is a God of miracles, signs, and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost that he can pour out on your life. God is the one. His word and his counsel will stand in eternity. And if it doesn't work out your way, that's okay because God's going to work it out his way someday. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. But guess what? He gonna do it. See, that helps us to go from pain to promise that when things don't work out our way, hey, who cares? It's not about my way. It's about God's way. This is about what God wants for my life. This is about what God is doing. And listen, maybe I heard wrong, or maybe it's not going to happen the way I thought it was, or maybe, just maybe, there's going to come a day where I'm sitting at the table, minding my own business, doing my work, distributing and selling grain, and all 11 of my brothers are going to come, and they're going to bow down before me, just like I saw in the vision. Maybe, just maybe, God has a greater plan in my future than what I already thought. Maybe, just maybe, I can have that great home. Maybe, just maybe, I can have that great business. Maybe, just maybe, I can have that great family. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to do something greater in my life to accomplish his kingdom purpose, his will, his plan in my life. See, you may be forgotten by man. Things may not work out with the butler giving a word to the Pharaoh and getting you out. But listen, it doesn't matter if man forgets you. Why? Because God remembers you and God is with you wherever you go. Think about if Joseph would have gotten out at that time. He would have just been out on the street. What if Pharaoh said, yeah, let him go? He would have just been there in Egypt wondering what to do with life, where to go, what's he going to do? Should he go back to his brother? Should he reconcile? They wanted to kill him. What if he shows back up? Now all of a sudden he's got a problem because his father thinks he's dead, right? What if Joseph would have gotten let out before the time and in the wrong way? Maybe Joseph would have become a beggar on the streets of Egypt. Maybe he would have gone back. Maybe Potiphar would have found him out of the prison and killed him. There could have been any number of things that could have happened, but it was the plan of God that at the right time, in the right moment, that Joseph, 2 years later, would come out of that prison and would go into the palace. And from that palace, he would rule the known world at that time. He was second only to Pharaoh, according to the throne. And that was the plan of God for Joseph's life. What if we had our way? What if we had what we wanted the way that we wanted? Would we be beggars out on the street? Would somebody find us and tear us to pieces? Or what if we entrust ourselves to the process that God has for us? And if it includes the prison, God, then I will suffer for you. I will go through this trial. I will go through this process. Why? Because I know that I'm progressing towards the promise. And I know that, God, you're going to work it out. Last verse for tonight, Philippians chapter 1. Turn there with me. Is anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul is writing from prison. See, Joseph's not the only prisoner you find in the Bible. Jesus went to prison. He was imprisoned. You find the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, the one born supernaturally, the one who Jesus appeared to in a vision, the one who had the abundance of revelations. Here the Apostle Paul is in a prison and he's writing. And he says this. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12 and verse number 13, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, he says, the fact that I've been put in chains, that I've been put in prison, has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, what was Paul's life all about? Paul's life was about furthering the gospel, right? He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. He was going to continue to preach. He was going to continue to pastor. Him and James and John there in Jerusalem, they were going to continue to do their thing. But Paul was going to travel to the Gentile nations, and he was going to plant churches. And so Paul wanted to get the gospel out. He wanted to get the good news out. Now he's locked up, he's put in chains, and he's put in prison. Now we would think, hey, Paul's ministry is done. It's over. He's in prison. But he says, the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse number 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. Notice he's trying to get the gospel out to everybody. He wants to get it out to the Gentiles, to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. In other words, everybody knows about this. That what? He says, and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. I wonder how many of us could make that statement. My chains are in Christ. The prison that I am facing right now, the bars that I see around me, my chains are in Christ. The job that I've been given, my chains are in Christ. The place that I've been given in this family that doesn't seem to understand me or doesn't even really care that I'm here. Listen, my chains are in Christ. The place in my community where I feel like an outcast, I'm the only person of this color in my neighborhood, my chains are in Christ. Maybe it's the fact that you've been trying to do something great and people just don't understand. In fact, they're actually persecuting you. My chains are in Christ. See, God wants us to get from pain to promise. Get your eyes off of the trial. Get your eyes off the pain, because God wants to use that pain to train you for promise. There's coming a day. Listen to me, church. There's coming a day where that dream, that word that God gave you will come to pass. But you've got to have the attitude that I'm going to stay consistent. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. I'm going to stay focused, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do, no matter the pain, no matter the trial. That I'm going to forget the word of man. Doesn't matter what men say. It matters what God says. And I'm going to stay focused on the word of the Lord. And then finally, I'm not going to doubt when things don't work out. If it doesn't happen my way, then it's going to happen God's way. If it's God's word, he'll bring it to pass. And so my chains are in Christ. Whatever I go through, whatever I do, whatever happens to me, it's because God is providentially leading me on towards my future, towards that promise. Can anybody say amen in this place tonight? Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.